Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Here's where we had discussed, the last point was that a person, how does he come out of salah? And the example that was given, like a person, when he leaves somebody's home, then we make salam. There's etiquette of leaving somebody's home also. So when we leave our salah, when we terminate our salah, then also we make salam and come out of our salah. And what is the salam? That is the at-tahiyyat. So this we said was broken up into three parts. One is where a person, he makes salam, so to say, to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat, that my verbal ibadat, my physical ibadat, my monetary ibadat, all this is for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The second part, where it is salam to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, that peace be upon you, O Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the rahmat of Allah and the blessings of Allah. And the third aspect is where we're making dua for ourselves and all the righteous servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. And then we terminated on the fourth point, which is actually the tashahud, where a person is bearing witness. What does he say? That I bear witness that there is no deity except Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that verily Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the servant and Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is the tashahud. So here we had mentioned that a person, when he confesses here in salah, that there is no deity except Allah, then our sustainer also is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So when it comes to sustenance, they also return to Allah. When it comes to protection, then they also a person, he turns to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So this shahadat, renewing our iman, this should be done on a daily basis. Every day a person should renew his iman. Because we don't know at which stage iman leaves a person. It's mentioned the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that before Qiyamah, the time will come, that yusbihu ar-rajulu mu'mina wa yumsi kafira. In the morning, a person is a mu'min, he has iman. But in the evening, that iman is gone, he's lost it. Wa yumsi mu'mina wa yusbihu kafira. In the evening, he's got iman. In the morning, the iman is gone. Yabi'u deenahu bi'aradin min ad-dunya. He will sell his deen for just some gain of this dunya. For a petty gain of dunya, a person will sell his deen. So this is the time that we live in. Today, how many times it happens? Some insurance policy, and a person wants to cash it up. So now he will go against Shariat, just for that haram insurance policy. And that insurance policy is also, Allah save us, but today it's given a Muslim name. And we think that because it's given a Muslim name, now it has become permissible. When it comes to banking schemes, opening a bank account. So today the bank account also is given a Muslim name. Islamic banking, everywhere is Islamic banking. Whether it's really there is any Islam in it or not, that's a different matter. But it's given an Islamic name. So just by changing the name of something, it does not become halal, does not become permissible. Hussein gives an example of this. He says that if a person has, for example, a Coke bottle, a Coca-Cola bottle. Now in that Coca-Cola bottle, what we put black vinegar inside. So now if a person looks at it, what does it look like? Coca-Cola. But does it become Coke? It doesn't become Coke. It will still remain black vinegar. So exactly the same thing. These insurance policies that are there, they are filled with riba. One is interest. Number two, there's gambling in there. So how can it ever become permissible just by giving it an Islamic name? It doesn't become permissible. In Makkah al-Mukarramah, sometimes you will find people that go there, many a time you say, no, how can anything be impermissible over here? So on one occasion, Hazrat explained, he said that there was fish that was found in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And fish is halal. A person, he just removes it from the water. There's no slaughtering required in the fish. Two items, you don't require slaughtering. As-samaku wal-jarad. One is the fish. That there is no zabah that is required. And the second is the locust. Locust, a person, he catches, he cooks it, he eats it. Permissible to eat. So, there also there's no slaughtering that is required. So, there on the fish tin also it was written, mazbuhun ala tariqati shari'ah or ala tariqati islamiyah. This was slaughtered according to Shariah. So what a deception this is now. That even the fish, they're writing that. So when it's written there on the fish tin, then can we imagine the meat? Now there are many of them are acknowledging now that the meat that is coming in to Saudi Arabia, many of them are acknowledging it's not halal. It's not halal meat. That is why we always advise that a person that is going there, refrain, don't eat meat. And if you don't eat meat for a few days, what is going to happen? There's so much of other ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala, so much of fruit, so much of vegetables. There is so much, as I explained the other day also, Haji Ahmed Nakhuda, what does he eat? Just dar, wherever he goes, dar, every day. And one of his murids were here in the Islahi Jalsa, he said, we told Haji Sahib, he said, that you're eating dar every day? He said, I've come to the end of my life. How much more I'm going to live? So these few days of my life that I got, let me eat this and I will leave this world also. So a person today, everything, the day I was saying everything, the name has been changed. So just by changing the name, doesn't become halal. Now in these things, a person doesn't realize he sells his iman. A person makes a joke, he goes to one conference, or he goes to one seminar, and there they made one joke of deen. So in that one joke of deen that has been made, you didn't say anything. But what happened? You laughed. When that person, the comedian, made the joke, you laughed at the joke. By you laughing, you have approved. You have said that what you said is right. So he has lost his iman, you have also lost your iman. It's mentioned, the fuqaha have written to this extent, that the hair of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a strand of hair of Nabi alayhi salam, a person makes mockery of it. Just one strand of hair. Finish, your iman is gone. Person has lost his iman. Person makes a mockery of the beard, the shi'ar, the sha'air of Islam, the topi, the beard, the masjid, all these great, great things. He makes a mockery of how isn't his iman in danger. Sometime one person, he made a comment. Somebody said that the prawns or whatever, don't eat it. It's not permissible or whatever. So he said in Shariat, everything is impermissible. We don't know what is halal in Shariat. So these type of statements are very, very dangerous, and a person could lose his iman. So therefore, on a daily basis, one is here in Salah, we are renewing our iman. And out of Salah also, daily, person renew his iman. That I don't know at which stage I could have lost my iman. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Further, he writes over here, after we did the whole translation of this as well, he says, Maloom kare, ke aise hi mazmoon ko zuban par lane aur dil mein yaqeen karne se musalman hua hai. That how does a person become Muslim? He said, this statement where we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He says that this subject matter, reciting this kalima, a person becomes a Muslim by bringing it onto the tongue, verbally uttering it, and by having conviction in the heart. For a person to qualify as a mu'min, two conditions are found, or are required. One is, tasdeeq bil qalb, and iqrar bil lisan. The heart must confess, the heart must have conviction, that I believe that there is no deity except Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a messenger of Allah. So there must be tasdeeq in the heart, and iqrar bil lisan, the words must come out of the tongue as well. The munafiqeen, the tasdeeq bil qalb was not found. In their heart, iman was not there. But they brought it on the tongue. Now why is it that it was brought on the tongue? When a person, he says, I'm a mu'min, he recites kalima. You don't know what is in the heart. But the fact that he has recited kalima, you have no reason to doubt him. So he will be treated like a Muslim. The day he passed away, you bury him in a Muslim qabristan. If he participates in jihad, the spoils of war, so he also gets a share of the spoils of war. So by saying it verbally, all the laws of dunya, that will apply to him. But what is in the heart, that is between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to qualify, the heart also must confess, and secondly, verbally it must be said with the tongue as well. Or namaz faraz hui, or isi par khatam hui. That when we commence namaz on this very same tawheed, on kalima, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, on believing on one Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah. So namaz commenced and became faraz on that, on iman. And it is now completing, you ending your namaz also with iman. In the beginning of your salah was also iman. And in the end also you're reading tashahud, you're ending with iman. How is it in the beginning that you started with iman? He's explaining this. Aur maloom rakhe ke jis mazmoon par madar kisi kaam ka hota hai, takrar usi mazmoon ki awwal akhir aya karti hai. He says that know very well that when any work is dependent on some subject matter, then that subject matter is repeated in the beginning also. That subject matter is repeated in the end also. That where does namaz come? Namaz is dependent on iman. When a person has iman, then he will perform salah. Then only is his salah valid also. If he reads namaz without iman, salah is not valid. So your salah is dependent on iman. Iman. So iman is repeated in the beginning of your namaz also. Iman is repeated in the end of your namaz also. In the beginning of your namaz, is waste pehle takbir tahrima se ke qat hazir hone darbar khas ka karte hai. Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. He says in the beginning, before you said Allahu Akbar, takbir tahrima, he says before that, what does, when a person makes his niyat, what does he say? Inni wajjahtu wajhiya lilladhi, I face in the direction of that being who has created fatara as-samawati wal arda hanifa. He has created the heavens, Allah Ta'ala has created the earth. Hanifa means straight, move away from all deen, all batil, deens of falsehood, and turning towards the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So you're facing towards that Allah. And you're saying in the beginning, وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, I do not ascribe any partners of Allah. So see the tawheed in here. So in the beginning of your salah was tawheed. In the end of your salah is tashahud. So the beginning also is tawheed, ending also is tawheed. Why? Because your salah is dependent on tawheed. If your iman is in order, your salah is going to be in order. If your iman is not in order, the salah of a person is not in order. The kuffar, they also do good actions, but they don't have iman. So because they don't have iman, the good actions that they do, there's no reward for them in akhirah. It's mentioned on the day of qiyamah, haba am mansura. The good deeds that they have done, they have also done a lot of good deeds. The kuffar, they also assist other people, they take care of animals also, a lot of good deeds they also do. But the good deeds that they do, this will be like particles of dust. So how do they get rewarded? So commentators of Quran, under this verse, they have written, they say that in this dunya, sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives them good looks. They are so good looking. So this is the reward they got in this dunya. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives them a lot of wealth. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala gives them a lot of enjoyment. So this is the reward they get in this very dunya. But in the akhirah, there is nothing for them whatsoever. Perhaps I mentioned this incident before also. Mawla Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi has written that there were two people that were on the verge of passing away. And he said one was a Muslim and the other person was a kafir. So he says that that Muslim person, he had the desire to drink olive oil. And the kafir, he had the desire to eat fish. He was a Jew, he wanted to eat fish. So it is mentioned that there was no fish in that area. But Allah Ta'ala sent the farishta. He said that bring the fish. And from another area and in his backyard there is a pond. Put the fish in the pond. And as for the Muslim, the olive oil was next to him in the cupboard. So Allah Ta'ala sent the farishta, he said, the angel, go and drop that olive oil. Don't let him drink it. So both of them passed away. The Muslim, he didn't drink the olive oil. And the disbeliever, he got the fish. From where it was brought, he ate the fish. And both of them passed away. So these malaika, they met. They said that, what is this? That for a mu'min, Allah Ta'ala made it so difficult. For a kafir, Allah Ta'ala made arrangement for him. So here Allah Ta'ala informed them that, Mawla Thani Rahmatullah has written this, he says for that kafir, for all the good that he had done in the world, I paid him for it. But there was one good I hadn't paid him. So yeah, I paid him in this dunya, so tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, there's nothing for him. And the mu'min, for any error that he has made in his life, for any wrong that he has done, that I've given him the azab. I've given him the punishment. But there was one wrong that was still outstanding. So I wanted to give him the punishment of that in this dunya. Tomorrow for him, directly, he goes direct into Jannah. That is why many a time we see a person that is suffering, somebody's got cancer, somebody's got this illness, somebody's got that illness. That to us we see that the man is suffering. But how Allah Ta'ala is elevating him, that is in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So here, further he says, Ji, aur andar namaz ke bhi yeh mazmoon bohot hai. He says, this subject matter in namaz also is repeated many a times. Where a person is saying that I am a mu'min. I do not commit any shirk. I do not ascribe any partners unto Allah. Jaisake, la ilaha ghayruk. For example, in the sana that we read, which we discussed in the beginning, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarakasmuka wa ta'ala jadduka. They also what we say, la wa la ilaha ghayruk. There is no deity except you, O Allah. So see, that is tawheed, the oneness of Allah. Or iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, mawjood hai. And in Surah Fatiha, we're saying, only you we worship Allah. We believe only in you, we worship only you. And when we require assistance, then we take assistance only from you. Or jis waqt darbar se rukhsat huye, to yehi ahad wa peyman kar uthe, ki ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So he says that when tawheed is brought all along in our salah, in the beginning of our salah, when you're leaving salah, then we make this promise to Allah, that Allah, I bear witness that there is no deity except you, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah Ta'ala's servant and Allah Ta'ala's messenger. Baad iske durood pare. Now a person has finished that tahiyyat, and after tahiyyat now he will recite durood sharif, which is durood Ibrahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. That Allah send salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just as we have sent salutations upon Ibrahim and the family of Ibrahim, verily you are worthy of all praise and you are the most exalted, O Allah. And the second durood, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. O Allah, send blessings, barakah upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa ala ali Muhammad, and blessings upon the family of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. As you send barakat and blessings upon Ibrahim alayhi salam and the family of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, verily you are worthy of praise and you are the most exalted. So a person will now read the durood sharif. Ab adab ke saath namaz se bahar aana chahiye. Now he says, now you come out of namaz, Now, how will you leave namaz? You will leave with adab, with respect. A person should leave with etiquette. He should leave that namaz. Bahar ana namaz se faraz hai. That for a person, through some action, to come out of namaz is obligatory, which is referred to by the fuqaha as khuruj bi sun'ihi. Through some action, you will come out of namaz. To say the words of salam, just to say the words of salam, that is a sunnat. Or tahiyya masnoon namaz se bahar aane ka shara mein ye hai. And he says, what is the sunnat greeting of coming out of namaz? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. That a person says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is a sunnat greeting to come out of namaz. Munfarid ko chahiye ke ba waqt salam ke farishto kiraman katibin ki jo iske daaye aur baaye hai niyat kare. Now he says, regarding the munfarid, that person that is reading namaz individually, for example, you're reading your sunnat namaz, person is reading his nafil namaz, so he is individually, he's not reading in congregation, he is alone. So now when he makes salam, when he's making salam to his right, and when he is making salam to his left, then he should make niyat of the malaika that are to your right, and to the malaika that are to your left, that I'm making salam to these angels that are to my right, and to these angels that are on my left hand side, the kiram and katibin, those that are recording all our actions. So we make salam to them as well. Our Hazrat explains, he says that in the salam that we make, he says that if we make the niyat of these malaika, one great benefit is this, that there are two systems of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. The one system of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala is the system of cause and effect, which you and I, we know of. There's a cause and effect for everything. For example, person is sick. So now what does he do? He goes to buy some medication. He goes to a doctor. And now he takes that medication. He takes whatever tablets have been prescribed for him. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala cures a person. Now this is the system of cause and effect. You're sick, you took medication, you were cured. So this is one system. For example, a person, he is hungry. So now he eats food. And what is the consequence? His stomach will be now full. So this is the system of cause and effect. But above the system of cause and effect is the system of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. This is superior to the system. It overrides the system. And that system of Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala opens up for a person when he makes the niyat of the malaika. And what is the system? That when a person is sick, it is not the medication that will cure that person. But the cure is actually from Allah ta'ala. Person is sick. Sometimes he takes the medication. One person takes it, the same sickness, the same medication, he is cured. Another person takes it, same sickness, same medication. He doesn't get the cure. So where is the cure coming from? Is it from the medication? No, it's from Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. A person is hungry. So he eats the food. But there's indigestion. Now he gets sick. So instead of him being satiated now, he's sitting with illness. Now he has to go and take medication to cure that illness. So that stomach being full, a person being satiated, where does it come from? It comes from Allah tabarakah wa ta'ala. So this system opens up for a person when he makes niyat of the malaika. One of Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah used to say that the button is just the sabab. For example, a person has got a machine. So now you press the button. So the machine is going to start running now. So that is just the means. That was just the sabab, that when you press the button, the machine started to run. But actually, where was the power? Where was the power? Where was the power coming from? It was coming from the powerhouse. Wherever the powerhouse was connected to your main, and from there it was now coming to the machine. It was not actually the machine. So exactly the same way, understand it, that whatever we receive, our rozi it is, or whether a person is ill and Allah Ta'ala grants him shifa, or we're eating food and we are being satiated, we're drinking water and our thirst has been quenched, it is this water and all this is just the sabab. Allah Ta'ala can fill your stomach without you eating. A person doesn't eat and Allah Ta'ala can keep him full. A person, he takes maybe few minutes of sleep and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can give him the full rest of the entire night. That is the system of Allah Ta'ala. It is beyond this system of cause and effect. So when a person, he makes the niyat of the malaika, this system of Allah Ta'ala, which is superior to the system of cause and effect, this system opens up for a person. Or muqtadi, jo imam ke piche barabar hai. Now we finish the munfarid. Now he comes to the second category. That muqtadi, that person who is following the imam. Muqtadi is the one that's following the imam. Who is standing directly behind the imam. Normally the muazzin stands there. But that's not the place of the muazzin. The place, whoever comes in the masjid, no place is reserved for anyone in the masjid. Anyone can come anywhere, a person can sit. Yes, for convenience, we reserve the place for the muazzin, for ease, that he can come and he can call out the iqamah. Or there are elderly people, our sheikh is there, great senior ulama are there. So out of convenience, we reserve certain places for them. Similarly, the parking lot of the masjid doesn't belong to anyone. It's work for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So nobody can reserve a place in the parking lot of the masjid also. Imam's parking, that is just as a suggestion that for convenience of the imam, leave it vacant. But you cannot reserve even a parking for the imam in the masjid. Masjid parking lot. You cannot even reserve for the disabled. That this is for the disabled, because it's waqf property. Anything that is waqf, it belongs to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Yes, we can say that they are elderly people, they're having difficulty in walking. So be considerate, and we should be considerate of these people. Be considerate of them and reserve that parking, leave that parking bay empty for them. And we are young, we can park and walk from a distance also. So that muqtadi that is behind the imam, or daye taraf wale muqtadi or farishto ki niyat kare. When he makes salam to the right, then make niyat of the farishtas also, and those musallis that are to your right. And according to some kitabs, basically they were held, that when you behind the imam, and you are making salam, for example, to your right, then make niyat of the imam also. Make niyat of the other musallis that are there. And make niyat of the malaika that are on your right. Right. Or isi tarah, baayi taraf ke salam mein, imam, or baayi muqtadi, or farishto ki niyat kare. And when you make salam to the left hand side, then make salam, make niyat of the imam again, because you directly behind the imam. So in both directions, you will make niyat of the imam. And the musallis that are on your left hand side. And the malaika that are on your left hand side. Aur jo muqtadi ke imam ke daaye hai, and that muqtadi that is on the right hand side of the imam, that's on the right hand side of the imam, daaye salam mein muqtadi aur farishto ki. So when he makes salam to his right, then he will make salam to the muqtadis that are on the right and the malaika, jo iske daaye hai, niyat kare. Aur baaye salam mein imam aur muqtadi aur farishto ki. And when he makes salam to the left, then he will make salam of the imam, of the muqtadi, and the malaika that are on the left. Because when he's going to turn to the right, there's no imam on his right. The imam is on his left hand side. So when he makes salam to the left, then the imam, the farishtas, the muqtadis. But on the right hand side, only the musallis that are there and the farishtas. اور فرشتوں کی جو اس کے بائیں طرف میں نیت کرے. اسی طرح جو مقتدی امام کے بائیں ہے. Now he brings the imam when you are on the left hand side of the imam. So when you are on the left hand side of the imam, جو مقتدی اور جو مقتدی کے دائیں طرف کنارے صف کے ہے. And he says that مقتدی that is on the right hand side of the imam, but he is the last person in the صف. So he says دائیں سلام میں فرشتوں کی نیت کرے. And when he makes salam to his right, then he should make niyat of the farishtas, because there is no one else after that. Or baaye salam mein imam aur muqtadi aur farishto ki. And when he turns to the left, then the imam, the muqtadis, and the farishtas. Thereafter a person, before this, there is one point that he didn't make mention of here, is the dua. After the durood, is the dua that is normally recited. Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. So in this dua, what we are saying, oh Allah, إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي, I have oppressed myself. And not only oppressed myself, ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا, very, very greatly I have oppressed myself. I have done a great guna, I have done a great wrong. اللهم إِنِّي ظَلَمْتُ نَفْسِي ظُلْمًا كَثِيرًا وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ. And none can forgive my gunas except you. فَغْفِرْ لِي مَغْفِرَةً مِّنْ عِنْدِكَ. Therefore forgive me, grant me a complete forgiveness from your side. وَارْحَمْنِي, and have mercy upon me. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. You are most forgiving, O Allah, and you are most merciful. So here a person, why is it that he is making this dua at the end of salah? That here we are seeking forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala, we could not fulfill the right of salah. That this is such a great ibadat, and I am performing salah, and what is the condition of my salah? So we ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness, we could not fulfill the right of the salah. It's mentioned regarding sahaba, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِّنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, sahaba at night, they used to sleep very, very little. Very little they used to sleep at night. Majority of the night is in tahajjud namaz. وَبِالْ أَثْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. And in the time of sehri, they're making tawbah, they're making istighfar, asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala asked Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, what's the reason for this? Did they steal? Did they commit murder? Did they make zina, na'udhu billah? Did sahaba do this? Why are they making istighfar at the time of sehri? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that ibadat, that salah that they performed, they could not fulfill the right. So when we could not fulfill the right of that salah, on that we making tawbah, we making istighfar to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In another verse, Allah ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا. That those people, Allah ta'ala gives them wealth. And from their wealth, they are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ But their hearts are restless, they're fearful. أَنَّهُم إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ That they're going to return to Allah Ta'ala. So they bring good, but they don't have any confidence. They do not say, you know what, the good that we done, we're okay now. No, we don't know. Is it accepted in the court of Allah? Is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala happy with it? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala displeased with it? So a person should always remain humble. Always remain humble that I don't know what is the condition of my ibadah. Yes, a person shouldn't become despondent. Have hope. Allah Ta'ala will accept. But pride shouldn't come into a person. Why? In the court of Allah Ta'ala, there is shortage of nothing. In the court of Allah Ta'ala, everything is found. The greatness of Allah, the grandeur of Allah, all this is found. If there's something that's not found in the court of Allah, it's tawazu. Humbleness is not found in the court of Allah. There is only greatness. That is why when a banda here, when he humbles himself, that is very much appreciated in the court of Allah. That is loved by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Even in our lives, we mentioned the hadith of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that many a times in our home, we have an elderly person that is there. Or we have a family member, some brother, some sister. For example, some brother, he may be paralyzed, he can't go out and work. Or for example, you have a sister, she's divorced, and there's no one to take care of her. So she's in our home. So what we think many a times, we think that she's in our home. Now it's a burden upon me. I must go out, I must work, and I must now support her. The hadith says, إِنَّمَا تُرْزَقُونَ بِدُعَفَائِكُمْ These weak people that are in your home, Allah Ta'ala is sending rozi and barakat in your home because of them. And we don't understand that. One sahabi comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there were two brothers. So the one brother was always in the company of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the other brother, he will go out, he will work the whole day. And at the end of the day, he's bringing the income in the home. So one day he got frustrated, and it happens. We are insan, we're human beings. But that is why we need to think of these ahadith of Nabi alayhi salam. So he came, he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I go out, I work, I earn, I bring everything. And this brother of mine, he's coming and he's sitting here. He's got it easy going. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ That perhaps you are getting your risk and your sustenance because of him. Allah Ta'ala is giving you barakah. There was one student that was in the madrasa. He was from Canada. So on one occasion he was explaining to me, he says that his brother was paralyzed and he says that he was in the wheelchair. So his father was quite elderly. He says, but Allah Ta'ala had given my father so much of strength that he was able to take care of my brother all the time. And he made khidmat of my brother. And he says, then my brother passed away. He says, the day my brother passed away, next day all the strength of my father was lost. So where that strength was coming? Because of this person that he was taking care of. So never think that we doing somebody a favor. It's actually the other way around, that they are doing us a favor. Jeez. See, so a person, he reads this dua. And thereafter a person, after the salah now, once he makes salam, iske baad ek dua parni sunnat hai. After you make salam now, then there is a dua that is recited which is sunnat. That is normally recited by all the imams. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. That Allah, you are salam. You are the one that is the giver of peace. You are peace. And from you is all peace, O Allah. Tabarakta, you are full of barakah, O Allah. You are full of blessings. And you are most exalted. And you are most generous. It is mentioned that this is the sunnah dua. After the faraz namaz, particularly those faraz namazes, after which there is a sunnah muakkada. After zuhar, there is sunnah muakkada. After maghrib, there is two rakat sunnah muakkada. After Isha, there is two rakat sunnat muakkada. After these three namazes, the dua, the sunnat dua is this much. It is mentioned according to some narration, the Nabi Sallam would make this much. Allahumma anta salam wa minka salam. Tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Some narration comes, fourth kalima, the Nabi Sallam would recite. And up to that much. And according to some of our ulama, our muftiyan, they say, for example, in the fatawa kitabs, that one two other duas, you can add with that. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. One, two other du'as you can add. But a person shouldn't make lengthy du'a after the faraz namaz, after which there is sunnat muakkada. Even the tasbihah fatimi, we shouldn't read at that time. After the faraz namaz where there is sunnat muakkada, you'll make a short du'a and then you read the sunnat. And after the sunnat, then whatever you want to do, you want to read your tasbihah fatimi, you want to read your wazaif, whatever you want to read, that is after the sunnat. And after those faraz namazes where there is no sunnat muakkada, the fajr, after which there is no sunnat muakkada, asr namaz, after which there is no sunnat muakkada. So there a person can make a lengthy dua, there is no problem. But where there is a sunnat muakkada, that sunnat salah is actually the completion of the faraz namaz. If there was any shortfall in the faraz namaz, it's made up with that sunnat namaz. So therefore a person shouldn't engage in lengthy dua
but he should immediately read the sunnah namaz. So this is the sunnah dua to recite after the farz namaz. Somebody was asking me yesterday that how should the dua be made? Whether the dua should be made loudly or whether the dua should be made silently. So generally the dua should be made softly. Dua shouldn't be made loudly. And the proof is in the Quran also. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'a wa khufya." That when you call unto your Rabb, when you make dua to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then with humbleness and silently a person should make dua. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala can hear. What is the whispers and what is in the heart of a person, that is also in the knowledge of Allah Ta'ala. So dua should be made softly. In another place Allah Ta'ala says, "Iznada rabbahu nida'an khafiyya," regarding Hazrat Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. That when he made dua to Allah Ta'ala, the dua that he made was a silent dua. So here there is proof in the Quran for silent dua. Similarly, there is proof for loud dua also. For example, where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua, we discussed this incident, where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for the destruction of Fir'aun. So there, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam didn't make dua. But what he did, he said Ameen to the dua of Musa alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala said, "Qad ujibat da'watukuma," that both you people, your dua has been accepted in the court of Allah. So how could he say Ameen if Musa alayhi salam's dua was silent? That means the dua of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was also loud. So say, fuqaha have mentioned, they say it's no problem, both duas are accepted. But the asal is silent dua. So sometimes the dua should be made loudly for the ta'lim of the congregation. They can learn the duas. And it shouldn't be only restricted, it shouldn't only be made and people learn the dua's parrot session. But when the dua is made, then the a'imma, whoever is the imam, they should explain the meaning of the dua. Like how we are explaining over here, what is at-tahiyyat, what is the meaning of durood sharif. So now people, when they are making dua, they are also conscious of what dua they are making to Allah Ta'ala. So as ta'aleem, sometimes the dua should be made loudly, and there must be those occasions where dua must be made softly. Both duas are correct. Hadith ki sahih riwayaton mein ye dua isi qadar mazkur hai. In the authentic books of hadith, only up to this much has been mentioned in regards to this dua. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Because others, they add a few more words in there. But in the authentic books of hadith, there's no extra. Only this much. Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. Janna chahiye, jo ye banda panch waqt beech darbar aise badshah ali ja ke بے منت اور احسان کسی دوسرے کے حاضر ہو کے سرفراز ہوا تو پھر لازم ہے کہ جو اپنے مالک کے سامنے اقرار کر آیا اس پر قائم رہے. He says when Allah تبارک و تعالی gave you the opportunity of coming before him 5 times a day and in front of such a great king and you didn't need the favor of anyone to come into the masjid and perform salah, he says then it is necessary for you that when Allah تعالی was so kind, then what you have said to Allah تعالی in your salah, then remain firm upon this, which we explained many a times. That whatever confessions you made, remain on these confessions. Ye nahi ke panch waqt parwardigar ke samne iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in ke aave baad iske kisi aur ko pooje. He says that it shouldn't be said that 5 times a day you come before Allah. You say, "Allah, I'm worshipping only you, Allah. Only you I'm asking you for assistance of Allah." And after that you go and worship somebody else. Meaning when you're in difficulty, when you're in problem, then you turn to somebody else. Person is sick. So the first thing he's supposed to do, his attention should go to Allah Ta'ala. Give a little bit of sadaqah. He mentioned the hadith that treat your illnesses with sadaqah. When a man is sick, go and give some sadaqah to some poor person and see how Allah Ta'ala will cure him. But what we do, first we will go to the doctor, first we will try medication. When nothing works, then we will read namaz, then we will give some sadaqah. So what we do, we bring Allah Ta'ala right in the end. So here he's saying that no, it shouldn't be like this. That you said this in your namaz, now when you're in difficulty, turn to Allah Ta'ala. Person needs financial help. So here we ask somebody one day, he'll help us. 2 days, 3 days, is another story altogether. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, he mentioned in one poem, he says, "Ye dunya wale be wafa hai, wafa ki qeemat nahi jante." People of dunya, they're not loyal to you. In front of you, they're very good. The moment you turn your back, they say something else altogether. So dunya wale be wafa hai, wafa ki qeemat nahi jante. They don't know what is the value of loyalty. Person many times, he'll say, "Anything you need, come to me. I'm there for you, don't worry." You go one time, he'll help you. Second time, becomes a little more difficult. Third time, it becomes even more difficult. That's why in the Quran also, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned, in regards to those people that don't discharge their zakat, Allah Ta'ala says that 3 parts of their body will be branded with Jahannam. فَتُقْوَى بِهَا جِبَاهُهُمْ وَجُنُوبُهُمْ وَظُهُورُهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala says the head, the forehead. And then the side. And then the back. Why? Why these 3 parts? Why the head, why the side and the back? Because when you ask a man to pay his zakat, it's difficult to take out 2.5%. Somebody's got a little bit money, it's no problem. But those people, the businesses, they are those that run into millions, 50 million, 100 million. To take out that 2.5% is not easy. So now when a man comes and he tells you, there's no zakat collector as such today. But if a zakat collector has to come, and he has to tell you, which was found the time of Nabi alayhi salam, and he say, no, pay up your zakat. So he mentioned that first, what will happen? When it's difficult, you see the frown on the forehead. And then a person, he presses him more. He says, no, you have to pay your zakat. So what happens? He turns now. Now he turns his side to you. And then you push him further. Then he'll turn his back and then he'll walk away from you. So that is people of dunya. You go to them, one day they'll help you, 2 days they'll help you. Finally, the frown will come also. Then they'll turn away and then they won't want to see you again. But when we turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if you don't ask, مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلِهِ. You don't ask Allah, Allah gets angry with you. But you're not asking me, come, I'll give you what you need. Come, I will give it to you. It mentioned the time of Harun al-Rashid. There were three robbers, three thieves that went out. And they got caught. Three of them got caught. So one person, when they got caught, the one person, he ran away. So when he ran away, they saw one Sufi sahab going. So they said, you know what, we caught three, we're going to get into trouble. So they caught the Sufi sahab and they put him there. So they took all three of them and they put them into prison. So those other two that were there, they were thieves and they got their contacts all over. So they had their contacts, they got out of prison. So now the Sufi sahab, he was left 4 chap in the prison. So he had his contact also. And who was his contact? Allah Ta'ala. So what he did? He started, made his wudu, he started his namaz, he made dua to Allah Ta'ala. What was the result? When Allah Ta'ala's help comes, Harun Rashid sees a dream. And he is told, now go to the prison and take this person out. So he came to the prison and he took out this Sufi sahab that was there. And he said, see with what honor I came and I took you out. So what he told Harun Rashid, what a great king. And he was pious also. He used to read 200 rakats, nafil namaz every day, being a king. He told Harun Rashid, he said, you never take me out. You never took me out. He says, had you not come here and had you not taken me out, your kingdom would have been gone. This is the taluk the head of Allah Ta'ala. Mullah Jiwan is written one kitab, which the students do, Nurul Anwar, very difficult kitab also. It's mentioned about him that when the government of the country, they wanted to build a road. So where he was living, they had to go through his house. So they came to him, they told him that they're going to come, they're going to run down your house, the bulldozers and whatever they're going to use, they're going to remove your house from the way. So he said that, get my weapons also ready. He told his khadim, get my weapons also ready. So his khadim understood. Immediately he brought the lota, he brought the musalla, he brought his miswak. So somebody was there, the person that brought the news. So he went to the king or the government, whoever it must be, it must have been. He said that don't even interfere with this man. You're playing with fire now. He says that when he will turn to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then you stand no chance against this person. So they left it. They left that way and they made their road across or whichever other way they wanted to make it, they made it. So this is the ta'alluq a person should have Allah ta'ala. Our Hazrat explained, he said that there was one uncle of his that was in Indonesia. He mentioned on one occasion, he said that this uncle, he said they were elderly people. There are no children in the house. So he says now then they reach old age. So now they need a gardener. He said, now where are they going to go look for a gardener? So what he used to do, he used to read 2 rakat namaz. Say, Allah, you send me a gardener. And send me such a good gardener that he'll do all my work as I want it to be done. And then he'll say, Allah, that let him be happy. Send me such a gardener that will be happy with the amount of money that I can afford to pay him also. This is the ta'alluq. And when it was time for them, they used to go to hospital once a month or every 3 weeks to get their medication. So they don't just go to hospital, but they'll read 2 rakat namaz. Allah, I'm going to the hospital. Allah, you take me there. And send the best doctor for me, that he will diagnose and see what is wrong. And let him prescribe the best medication for me. And such medication that will be of benefit to me. They used to read the 2 rakat namaz, and then they used to go to the hospital also. So that's what he's saying, that when we need, that when you're staying in namaz, that you're going to ask Allah Ta'ala for help, then remain upon that. Or waqt-e musibat ke kisi aur ko pukare. That in namaz you're saying, I'll seek assistance from you. But when you're in musibat, when you're in difficulty, you're asking from someone else. Or marad chahe. Or lazim hai ke jo khuda se dua kare ke ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. And it is necessary. When we make dua in salah, Allah guide us to the straight path. So isko tahqeeq kare. Then find out ke sirat al-mustaqim ke raah raza mandi haq tabarak wa ta'ala ki hai, kya hai. That what is the straight path? Because if you want to tread the path, you must know what is the straight path. So make inquiries, find out from the Ahlullah, from the friends of Allah, from the ulama, that what is the straight path, so that I can also act upon the straight path. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us tawfiq.